This is episode 115 of Extraordinary Women Radio.
Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gilner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey.
Hello, my extraordinary women friends. Happy August. How did August get here already? I love this time of year, and it always seems to slip by so quickly, and especially because I've been on the road so much recently. But despite all the travel, I've been blessed with plenty of space to get outdoors, to enjoy some beautiful morning sunrises and evening sunsets. I hope you're making plenty of time and space to celebrate this beautiful time of year. It won't be long before I'm deep into my fall events. My September 17th Extraordinary Women Connect Gala in the beautiful Abend Art Gallery is shaping up nicely, and tickets are available on my website. The 5th annual Extraordinary Women Ignite on November 7th, 8th, and 9th in downtown Golden, Colorado has specially priced pre-launch tickets available starting this week through August 25th. I wanted to take a moment to share a bit more about the November Ignite event because it's going to be really special. We have two extraordinary keynotes joining us. Kate Maloney, who is the producer of the movie and the movement, We Rise Up, and Gina Schreck, who is an extraordinary woman named by Fast Company magazine as a top woman social influencer. Both Kate and Gina have been guests on Extraordinary Women Radio. I invite you to dig through the archives and find their episodes because their stories are really incredible. Ignite is attended by women changemakers, women whose voices are meant to be heard. It is 3 days focused on raising up how you're going to show up in 2020. You will walk away with a plan to make it happen as we dig into your voice, your vision, and your visibility. I'll be sharing some of my best teachings on growing your business. I believe that a wildly successful business starts with the fire within. It's driven by that inner flame and your inner wisdom. And I'm going to be showing you how to make heartfelt connections to that inner flame and that inner wisdom to create mindful business strategies. You'll be raising up your voice, your visibility, and your business. And on top of all of that, we're going to have a private showing of We Rise Up with Kate Maloney as our guide. We Rise Up premiered at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year and brings together some of the most brilliant, accomplished, and high-impact leaders of our day. It's about redefining a new model of success to uplift and empower people to live radically fulfilled, purpose-driven lives. I have pre-launch tickets available through August 25th, which is going to give you a 50% discount. So jump out to camigelner.com and get your tickets this week. Now, let me tell you about today's Extraordinary Women Radio guest, Lucia Giovanni. Lucia became one of the first transformational speakers in Italy and has even been regarded as the Louise Hay of Italy. As a former Italian supermodel turned best-selling author, spiritual teacher, transformational coach, environmental and animal activist, and author of 13 books, she's got a story to share. Her best-selling book, A Whole New Life, was first published in Italian and is now translated into 8 languages, including an English version published by Hay House India. Her book has sold thousands of copies around the world and debuted in the U.S. in March 2019. Today, she shares her courageous story of leaving behind a successful life that no longer served her and following the whispers in her heart. Let's meet Lucia Giovanni, the best-selling author of A Whole New Life. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Lucia. I am thrilled to have you join us all the way from Italy.
Thank you. I'm actually very excited and honored to be here.
Yes, and I'm honored to have you. So where in Italy are you?
I'm in Bologna, actually, and I live part of the time in Italy and part of the time, I mean, of the year in Thailand and Bali.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I love your country. We're going to get to come visit your country later this fall, and I'm just super excited about it.
Yeah, Italy is a beautiful country, actually, yeah.
It really is. It really is. It's one of my favorite places in the world. So I can't wait to be there again.
And, yeah, and hopefully we will meet in Italy, maybe.
I know. Wouldn't that be great? We'll be up in the Florence area for a short while. So perhaps we can make that work. That would be fabulous.
Yeah, I live not too far from Florence. And mm-hmm. so, yeah.
Cool. Very cool. So, and I am excited to jump into your story. And what I know about your story is you had a breakup with the showbiz industry, and then you went barefoot for a year. And then on the other side of all of that, you discovered this whole new set of healing practices that you are teaching around the world. So I'm excited to hear about this. Let's hear, can you tell us your story?
Yes, yes. So I'll go back to when I was a child, because that's where all begins. So when I was a child, and since I was a child, I've always felt a deep call for creating a better world, and not just for us humans, but also for the other beings that share this planet with us. So animals, trees, yes. You know, Mother Earth, and we are so interconnected, deeply interconnected with those beings. And of course, they don't have a voice, you know, they don't have money to pay for their freedom. So I've always felt, you know, this call to do something for them, and for humanity in general, but also for the other beings.
Yes.
And when someone would ask me, what are you going to do when you grow up? I would answer, I will do anything to make the world a better place. Not just for us, you know, for humans and for all living beings. And I will do anything to stop suffering, or at least reduce suffering as much as possible. And that will be my job. So I was very, very clear, you know, on what I wanted to do, what my call was. When I was a child, I used to, you know, spend a lot of time in nature, and my best friends were like animals, not I didn't.
Mine too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we are so connected with our true source when we are children. So
I would agree. And you were in Italy, or you were not in Italy, you were in Africa.
Africa, yeah. Yeah. I actually was, my father was living in Africa. My mother was living part of the year in Africa and part of the year in Italy. And then my grandmother was in Italy. So I was like, most of the time in Africa, but sometime also in Italy, you know, like I'm doing now with Asia. Uh-huh. I was doing back then with Africa. It's like a pattern of mine.
Yes.
So, yeah. So of course, Africa, you know, it has such, nature is so, so potent, so, so powerful there. So that was, you know, my clear, clear soul calling. Mm-hmm. But then, while I was still at college, I ended up working as a model. And it started by chance. I just, you know, took a friend to one selection and they chose me. And I said, well, good money, why not? Travel the world, why not? You know, and I'll do it for a couple of months, or, you know, like, why not? You know, it was like a new experience.
It dropped in your lap and you said, I'm going to go for it, as any young girl would do.
Exactly. But it soon became a full-time career, which lasted, I mean, many, many years. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning, it was awesome. I moved to Milan, you know, because I'm from originally from Bologna. I moved to Milan. I was living in a beautiful house. I used to earn a lot of money. Then I met this man, and we got married, and he was a dashing man, also a model. So we were traveling the world, doing fashion shows, photo shooting. All our friends were in the fashion industry. And apparently, I was living the perfect life. And I say apparently, because in reality, after a while, I started to feel like empty inside. You know, I had it all, but I started to feel depressed, like yes. My life had no meaning. And it was even worse in a way, because, you know, there was no reason why I should feel that way. But instead, I used to feel that way. So and of course, my husband didn't understand what was going on, because he said, what more do you want, you know?
Right.
My friends didn't understand it. And I mean, people would look at me, even their friends, and say, well, go see a psychiatrist, because, you know, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, just go fix it is what they were kind of telling you to do, versus actually
exactly.
doing what you ended up doing, where you went deep.
Exactly. Exactly. Go fix it. So at the beginning, I tried to numb my pain in every way I could. So mm-hmm. I worked even more and I started 3 companies in the fashion industry. I traveled more. I went shopping more. I went partying more. I started eating more and then not eating at all. You know, I tried everything to numb, mm-hmm. to numb that sensation, that pain. But of course, none of that worked.
Right.
And the other thing is that I was telling myself that I didn't know what I wanted. But in reality, that was not true. And that was also, I mean, looking at the things, at my story afterwards, in retrospect, that was also a big lesson, you know? Like how many times we tell ourselves, but, you know, I don't know what I want. My goals are not clear. I don't have, you know, a clear dream. And that was not true because deep inside myself, I knew that that depression was my soul calling to follow my true mission.
Mm.
But I could not admit it even to myself.
Right.
So, you know, I was like discarding this call, this deep message that my soul was trying to send me because it was too scary and it would have meant to leave all my certainties. So for some time, I mean, quite a few years, I resisted change. I found, you know, finding every excuse or good reason why I could not change my life. And of course, it's not surprising that my depression got worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why one day I decided to leave everything. So I left my marriage. I left my beautiful house to my ex-husband. And I went back to my hometown. I also left my 3 companies without taking any money or shares, which was not such a smart decision, actually, but I was very young. So.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, all my friends abandoned me, too, because they thought I had gone crazy, you know. They kept on.
What is she doing? Where is she going?
Exactly. They kept on telling me, you are making the biggest mistake of your life. Why don't you look for help? Go see some psychiatrist, someone that can fix you, you know, again.
Right. And you knew differently, though, inside. You knew there was a different, how did that knowing in you, how did you trust that intuition that you were supposed to do something entirely different?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I knew that or I felt, I felt it at some level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had some glimpse of, you know, of my future, of my possible future, because of course there were no certainties, but I had some, because at that time I was already studying psychology, so I went back to school to finish my psychology degree, and also while I was still modeling, and I was also, you know, attending like personal development retreats, and so in those moments it was like my soul told me, yes, that's your path, that's your path. But it were, you know, like just whispers. And I was not sure at all that could have become, you know, that could become my path.
Right. And it took a lot of courage to do that.
A lot, yeah. Because also at that time in Italy, like, because I didn't want to be, you know, a psychologist. What I wanted to do was, you know, was more personal development, was more to be a spiritual coach. And at that time in Italy, coaching was totally unknown, unheard of. And I'm talking about 25 years ago in Italy. So the only concept of coaching was sports coaching, you know, like
right.
For athletes. And so when my friends would ask me, okay, I get it. You don't want to be living in this fashion industry anymore, but what are you going to do? And I would tell them, I'm going to be an animal, an environmental activist, and a spiritual coach. And they would look at me very puzzled. So the animal activist part, the animal activist part, they didn't even care to comment, as you don't earn a living by that.
Right. But
the coaching part, they would ask me, what? Are you going
what to, is that?
Yeah. Are you going to work in a gym? So I was really, when I walked away from that life, I really had no help.
And was there a mentor for you at that point that helped you see that possibility of what coaching could be?
No, there wasn't.
Yes.
There wasn't. That's the thing.
Right.
So in addition to that, my attempts to run workshops, because I said, okay, I will, you know, on the side, start to run workshops, offer private sessions, so at least I'll see how it goes. But they, I mean, all my attempts were not doing very well. So when I decided to leave everything, to leave all my certainties, I was still struggling to get participants. And so, and for a while I've been struggling. So my savings were dwindling down very fast. And so the moment where I, you know, hit rock bottom was on a wintry Christmas Eve on the streets of Bologna and my hometown, and all I could see around me were happy people, so happy families, you know, couples celebrating Christmas. And I was all alone, sad, and almost broke at that point. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing is that I had done this to myself. So I began questioning myself. Had I really gone crazy?
Right. You know, that self-doubt was really starting to pop up for you.
Exactly. Which I mean, from the moment I had taken the decision to that moment, yes, there was some self-doubt, but not so strong, you know. Yeah. I was really following like my intuition. But at that point, self-doubt became really strong.
How long was that time period from, you know, when you left to where you had this moment of strong self-doubt?
Probably a year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So
you had this self-doubt and you're like, what the heck am I doing here?
Exactly.
Where do I go from this? And what happened?
Yeah, because I said, okay, it's already a year, you know, I've been trying to do this and it's not going.
It's not working, right? And I'm sure so many of our listeners can really appreciate that. They've got this vision of what they're supposed to do and it doesn't happen, and they're pushing and it's not working. So what happened for you?
So in that moment, I decided, you know, that really, I did not want to waste my life doing something that was not aligned with who I was. Because, of course, I could go back. And I had some thoughts of, you know, okay, I'll go back. But at the same time, I thought, okay, but is it really something I want to do? You know, and the other question I asked myself is, okay, what's the worst case scenario? Am I going to die? Am I going, you know, to lose what? You know, of course, I was already losing money, but I didn't have children. I was alone. So I said, okay, the worst thing that can happen is that I end up totally broke. Okay, I will, you know, find any job for, you know, a short period and get some money and get back on my feet. I'm not going to die of that.
Right. And that's always a good way. It's a good test for us whenever we're in that moment of fear. It's like if you start following it through the what ifs, it gets us to, oh gosh, I'm not going to die through this.
Exactly. I'm not going to die. It's not like a life-threatening thing. It's just, you know, money-threatening. Okay. I mean, I'm young. I'll find a way to earn some money. So that was something that helped me. And then the other thing is that I realized I was focusing on the cost I was paying to follow my dreams, but I was not focusing on the cost I would have paid if I had stayed in a
present me. Oh, that is so good.
Yeah. Because it's something that we humans do so often, you know. When we jump into the unknown, of course it's scary. Mm-hmm. And then if things don't go well, like it happened to me, we ask, okay, what is the cost? What am I losing? You know, what is the risk? But we don't focus on the cost of staying in a situation that doesn't represent us anymore.
And with both sides of that, I see an energy of freedom come with that, right? When you start to let go, you know, the grasping, there's an energy of freedom that comes with that.
Totally, totally. Because at that point, you have all your possibilities in front of you, rather than restrictions of the old, you know, of the old life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely.
So where did you go? You started to feel this new sense of freedom in front of you.
Yeah, and also I realized our dreams are a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trying to manifest our dream, to realize our dreams, is our way of returning the favor to God. So that is when it dawned on me that I had made the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I, in a way, that realization gave me the courage, the strength to move forward, and not to be, you know, blocked by that fear and that anxiety of, you know, losing money, losing time, etc.
Very good. Very good. And is that when the business really started to shift? Did you take time? What did you discover through that next evolution?
Yeah. So that's when something inside myself shifted. You know, probably I was
energetically,
more
focused. Yep.
Energetically, definitely. And so, of course, with that came also the decision to keep on, you know, attending training and you know, becoming better and better as a coach. Whereas, yeah, I was having doubts, you know, should I enroll in more trainings? It's more money, you know. And instead, no, I said, I want to do it and I'll go till the end, you know, and I'm committed.
And you've got what you need to do it.
Yes, yes. So there is when, you know, people start, and I mean, started coming more, enrolling more to my workshops, to my private sessions. And in terms of marketing, I was doing basically the same things that I was doing before.
Which is so important, right? Because otherwise, yeah, it was what happened inside of you that shifted it. It wasn't what you were doing externally. It was what happened internally.
Exactly. Totally. So it's what in my method, A Whole New Life, I call the internal creation, because then there is also an external creation, like the actions that we do outside.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, doing more marketing or other things. But in that case, it was totally internal creation, just shifting my perception, shifting my commitment.
So what advice do you give someone who's seeking change in their life and how they're defining that roadmap forward to tune into that internal wisdom, that internal knowing that's inside?
Yeah, well, to take time to mm-hmm. actually listen to ourselves, that's so important. Because in our society, we tend to, you know, run from morning to evening. And
yes,
most of the times, we don't even stop to ask ourselves if where we are running is the direction we want to run into.
Mm.
Really, is the direction that bring us what we want, and even more importantly, if where we are running to is, I mean, brings us to being the person we want to be.
Right.
So that is so important, and really take time, be in nature, and just listen, do some journaling, and ask over and over this very basic question: what do I want? What mm-hmm. do I really, really want? You know. If, I mean, money or time were not an issue, what
right.
would I want, you know? If I had a magic wand with all the possibilities in front of me, what would I choose?
And what are your practices that you do on a daily basis to open up to this? I mean, how do you weave this kind of introspection into your life, which I'm sure is a very busy life? How do you create that?
It is, but normally as soon as I wake up in the morning, I do meditation,
mm-hmm.
And then I do breathing exercises, because another part of my work has also to do with breath work. I teach breath work, and also in my retreats, I teach several breathing techniques, and mm-hmm. breath work is so important because it enables us to ground ourselves, to balance ourselves, to balance our energy, to go inside and be in contact and connect to be in contact with our wisdom, to connect with our intuition. So I do that, and that's roughly half an hour in total between mm-hmm. meditation and the breathing exercises, and then I do some yoga. Very gentle, Again, it depends on the time that I have available. It can be 1 hour, but it can also be sometimes just 20 minutes, but just to move my body a little bit.
I think that's so important.
Yeah. And while I do yoga, I listen to mantras and chanting. And then during my day, I use affirmations also. But those I use, you know, like while I'm driving, while I'm walking my dog, for example, in my daily activities. Because I found that using affirmation while you move your body, it's even more powerful.
I would agree with that. And I'm glad you brought it. You know, I don't, you know, often hear it put together like that, but I think that makes a lot of sense, because when we move, we're embedding that into our bodies in a deeper way. Those thoughts, those positive thoughts. Is that how you nurtured that self-love? I mean, I think self-love is so important in the midst of, for entrepreneurs, is really loving on ourselves.
Yeah.
Are there other things you do?
Well, I have a list of things that I love to do that nurture my soul.
I love that.
Yeah. And they vary from very, how can I put it, trivial things like, I don't know, go out and buy a new pair of glasses, you know, like every now and then, or, you know, or just go to the center of Bologna and have a look at the shops, things like that. But most importantly, be in nature, sing, you know, like mantras, or take a warm bath with bubbles, or, you know, stop read a book or read a few pages of a book. And I have like a list of probably 50 things.
Oh, that's awesome. Things you love to do. So that's a great thing for everybody listening. Go out and make your list of 50 things you love to do.
Yeah. And then I pick up my list, and then I choose depending on how much time I have, the mood of the day, you know, because most of the things are more in the spiritual part, like, again, be in nature, like do a walking meditation, but other things, as I said, are even more like social, you know, things like call a friend or, and then depending on what I feel more like to do, I just do it.
Right. So the work you do today is really based on helping women step into this whole life, and that's your newest book is Your Whole Life. Tell us a little bit, and I know you're the author of 13 books, first of all. Congratulations on that. That's amazing. What prompted you to write this book, Your Whole Life?
So A Whole New Life is all about change. What I noticed in these 25 years of work with people in different parts of the world is that if there is one something we all have in common, regardless of our age, of, you know, our culture, the color of our skin, our social conditions, anything, regardless of anything, something that we really all have in common is that we need to face change sooner or later.
Absolutely.
And change is the base of all our problems in two ways. Because we want a change that is not happening. Maybe we want something to change in our relationship or in our job or in our body. And then we suffer because this change is hard and we don't get to have this change happening in our life. And then we become impatient, and then we start judging ourselves, etc., etc. Or we don't want any change. We are fine as it is, but life pushes us into a change.
Right.
And I'm talking about, I don't know, a breakup in a relationship, or when someone losing their job, or losing a dear friend, or, you know. And then it's difficult to face, you know, these sudden abrupt changes that unwanted changes. And so A Whole New Life is really, the reason why I wrote this book is because I wanted to help people go through change. I wanted to give people tools so that they could be their own coaches. They could, you know, because when I went through my big change in life, and it was a change both in my career and in my marriage, I didn't have all those tools.
Right, right.
And I didn't have much help. So that's why I said, okay, I'll put, you know, together all my experience, all my knowledge, my studies, and also the experience of the participants to my workshops, and write a book out of it so that it can really help people.
Very good. And in the book, you talk about building a map of the future. What does that mean?
Yeah. So a map of the future is a very important practice, is a very important exercise, because if we don't know where we want to go, we cannot create any evolutionary change. Okay. So the first step, of course, as we said before, is getting clear on where we want to go. And some people may just think, you know, okay, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. But when we just think about it, the risk is losing ourselves in our thoughts, you know. Mm-hmm. So already writing down our dreams, our goals, make them more grounded. More
absolutely.
And this is a special technique. And you may, the vision map, and you may think of this vision map as a vision board 2.0. So the vision board, it's a classical.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from the coaching where you put, all your goals on a piece of paper. And this one, the vision map, it's a special technique I created by combining mind mapping with the traditional vision board.
Ooh, I like it already. Some of my favorite tools.
Yeah, so mind mapping, of course, I'm just saying for people who don't know it, is the well-known tool created by Tony Buzan. I actually had the honor to co-lead a workshop with him. He has been considered one of the most prominent psychologists of the 21st century. And so, so mind mapping mimics the brain functioning and communication between neurons and axons and dendrites. So the mind mapping itself provides a universal key to unlock the full potential of the brain. So when we combine mind mapping with the vision board to create a vision map, our goals become clearer, more impressed in our unconscious mind, more memorable. And this special combination injects our goal with tremendous energy. So just to give an idea of how it works, the central point, it's like a drawing of, it looks like a sun, you know. The central point is us. Like in my case, the central point would have my name, Lucia.
Okay.
Okay. And then there are branches, and each branch is an important area of our life. It could be, I don't know, relationships, but even relationship is a huge growth branch. It could be friends, family, significant, you know, the significant other. It could be work or career. It could be a special project. Like, for example, someone who wants to write a book. It could be one branch, could be your book.
Right.
And then there are sub-branches. And the sub-branches are the details of the branch. We use both words and visuals and little drawings. So we stimulate both hemispheres, left and right. And then we use colors also to stimulate our brain. So let's say, for example, one branch is a book that you want to write. So the main branch will be the book, and the sub-branches, the smallest branches, will be, for example, why is that is writing that book important for you? Where or when do you want to publish it? How do you want to write it? You know, so details of the main branch.
Mm.
So the main branch is the what, and the sub branches are the why, the how, the when, the where. And so at the end, when you've completed your vision map, you have all your goals there in one piece of paper. And just by looking at it, your unconscious mind gets a very strong message, gets you know, get impressed with your goals, actually.
I like this a lot. It's interesting because I actually have hanging on my wall somewhat of a vision board that is created almost in a mind map format. So it's very cool. And I like the way that you're applying the different elements to it. So I'm excited to get your book and really go deeper into that.
Yeah, in my book, there's, of course, all the deeper explanation, the detailed explanation. But it's very, I mean, it's nice because you can do it, of course. I mean, I advise people to have their own vision map. And then you, if you are in, like, if you live with someone, like if you're married or have a partner, you can also have a couple vision
yes.
map.
Which is good, right? Because then you get on the same page together. I know my husband and I exactly. we've done some vision boarding together where we both have done some things and had shared ones. And so that's kind of fun to do.
Yeah, like definitely. That. And then as a family, you can have your vision map for the family.
Absolutely.
It says, you know, in the vision map, you can write down the goals of the family, the values of the family, et cetera, et cetera. So it's fun also to teach to your children.
Very good. Very good. So where can people learn more about you and your work?
So in my website, luciagiovannini.com. So it's luciagiovannini.com.
Okay.
And then also my Facebook page. I also have a Facebook English speaking group called A Whole New Life, which is the title of the book. And in my website, there are also there's also a free 5 part video series to help people go through change.
Oh, very good. Very good. So all kinds of wonderful things that they can start to follow you with.
Yeah.
So the final question I always close with is, what 3 pearls of wisdom would you like to share with our audience today?
Yeah, so the first pearl of wisdom is be ready to encounter resistance.
Yes.
Yeah, because the bigger the goal is, the stronger resistance will be. Okay, and that's natural. That's a natural process. So because when we move towards our goals, it is when resistance gets triggered.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm talking about resistance, I'm talking that little voice that says, who am I to do that? I'll never make it. I'm not good enough, lucky enough, smart enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have enough money, time, resources, et cetera. And resistance is like a shark hiding in the depth of our psyche.
Okay?
And so the best thing we can do is track it down and invite it to surface to the conscious mind, because only then we can see it and transform it. We can recognize it for what it is, just a resistance. And even Jung, you know, the famous psychologist,
yes.
used
mm-hmm.
to say that we don't get enlightened by imagining figures of light. We get enlightened by bringing light into our darkness. So
mm-hmm.
that's with resistance.
That's very true. Very true.
Yeah. The second piece of wisdom is, which is linked to this first one, is fear does not mean to stop. Okay. I mean, fear, we can really transform fear into action. So unless stopping is what we really want to do, and then it's okay. Feeling fear doesn't mean, okay, I feel fear and I stop, I don't move forward. We can just, you know, label that fear, for example, enthusiasm, okay? And then it's a different game when we feel, okay, I'm so enthusiastic, I'm so excited. Because when we are excited, physically, we feel the same, like the same heartbeat, you know, raising, the same thing as when we feel fear. But just labeling it, excitement or enthusiasm gives us more power. And
yes.
And the third one is that each of us has in our hearts a dream to realize, a gift to offer, but we often think that it is not unique, you know?
That's so true, right? So many people think that the gifts that they have, everybody has, and that everybody has their very unique gift.
Yeah, and I say that because I went through that, you know, self-doubting again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I wrote my first book, and then I said, oh, but, you know, there are so many books. But who cares if it's not unique? Does this make our gifts less valid? No. So I think, of course, the idea is that it doesn't need to be unique. It just needs to be true. It just need to be in your heart.
Your truth.
Yes. So you're just sharing your truth. You don't need to have unique gifts. And if you don't do it for you, do it for other people. Because we all have gifts and talents. And if you don't use yours, you'll deprive other people of your gifts.
That's such a beautiful statement, and it's actually a statement that helped me several years ago really shift how I looked at what I was putting out into the world, because it was if I was sitting there holding on to my gifts and not sharing those, that those people needing that work would not ever find them. So it's such a beautiful concept that helps us stretch and grow when we think of it from that perspective.
Exactly, absolutely. That's the thing.
Yeah, this has been so wonderful. And I'd love to just wrap it full circle back to I want to go back to this time when you were a small girl and wanting to make a difference in the world for people, for animals, for our world. How do you do that today? What's the way that, you know, all of this has kind of come full circle for you?
Yeah, so what I do today is I give workshops and retreats. And speeches around the world, mostly in Italy and Asia, and of course also through my book. So the idea, even my book, A Whole New Life, is not just a guide to change, but it's really a guide to a new lifestyle. And the idea is that, you know, by changing our lifestyle, we become more loving, more compassionate, more empathic, more fulfilled, more joyous. And so we spread that love, that joy, and those empathy to all, you know, living beings.
Absolutely.
And so,
the ripple effect, right? I mean, it's the ripple effect of what you create in the world. And even, you know, I love the fact that you bring people back into nature and you bring them into being able to hear that space for themselves by slowing down and being. So it's wonderful work that you're doing. And it's such an honor to get to include you here on Extraordinary Women Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, you have a wonderful day, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Cami. Wonderful day to you too. And I hope to meet you.
I hope to meet you as well. I hope that it'd be awesome. So I'll let you know when I'm going to be there. So.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to visit me at CamiGellner.com to find out how you can make heartfelt connections to mindful strategies to ignite an abundant flow of cash and clients into your business. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media channels. I'm on both Facebook and Twitter. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.